in this league's real
Big Three.
Scott Bogman, Roto World's Jonas Nader, and Hoopball's Dan Bespris. The In This League Real Big Three.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Real Big Three on In This League. We are a day late, but not a dollar short. What happened? What had happened was, was that last year we used to record the show on Tuesday when I had nothing but this show to do. So when the time change happened, I was like, can we move back an hour? You know, because it's different for me because my time doesn't change, but it means that all of my times for my schedule change. You know, games start an hour earlier. They end an hour earlier. All my shows with anyone in a different area move up an hour. So Dan had smartly recognized that and said, hey, aren't we moving up an hour? Because that's how I have it written on my calendar. And I said, well,
No, you're taking too much blame here because we were 1:30 my time.
Yes.
But I forgot to adjust for the fact that you now would be a part of my 1:30 instead of your 2:30. So that was my fault. But daylight saving is stupid. That's the whole
thing. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is stupid anyway. Yeah. I'm always so just so we all know here because we didn't even talk about this off camera. I can't do anything at 1:30 my time ever on Thursday. It has to be 2:30 my time. So so we'll figure it out. Well, but anyway, we're here now. We are a day late, but like I said, not a dollar short. It's me, Scott Bogman at Bogman Sports on the Twitter. Dan Bespris from Hoopball at Dan Bespris and Jonas Nader from NBC Sports Edge at Jonas Nader. And Dan, you sat in line at, 9 a.m. Pacific, which is early for me, but normal for you. And you actually got a Top Shot pack, and Jonas was tweeting. I think, Jonas, you said you were trying to get it when it was supposed to be released.
Twice yesterday.
You were very frustrated, and you said, boy, Top Shots would be way more fun if their website worked for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Yes.
So I understand the frustration.
You're not wrong.
But our guy Dan got one. So what do you get? And are you making some cash?
I don't know. So here's the thing. I don't really know what I'm doing. All I know is how to set an alarm on my phone to get in line. And it worked. I got I was like number 16,000 out of 35,000 or whatever they gave away today. Because I knew this one was going to be one. They listed
and by the way,
rare.
They did not give away. You had to pay. So
I had to pay. Yes, I got in line like everybody else. I'm not fancy. But I got the No Look Steph 3.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I plan to recoup my purchase price. No, I have no idea. I think the marketplace hasn't reopened yet. But I'm trying to like figure out someone. My buddy Alan was telling me to wait a day or two because usually there's like this initial flood and then things become a bit more rare. But I don't really know.
Sorry to butt in, but this is the point. Which one was your rare card? Because that's the thing that matters. Because you should have one. That's the rare. Wow.
Yeah.
A rare Curry.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Pretty excited about that. I got a couple of actually pretty good, not rare ones as well, but the All-Star special one was the Steph No Look 3.
Well, drinks are on Dan dunk. When we see him then.
Sure. I got it, man. I got it. I also got a Chris Boucher dunk in there. So that was kind of fun. Ooh. Not rare, but that was a fun one. A Zion dunk and an AD dunk were also blended. And for good measure, a Mason Plumlee dunk. Oh, yeah.
You didn't get like a PJ Tucker sits on the bench waiting to get traded? None of those?
No, but Dan Yu, one of my Twitter followers, a longtime Hoopball guy, he just gifted me a PJ Tucker three-pointer, which I thought was the greatest thing ever. Like, well, Dan's spirit animal.
You guys know the best part about that trade was that Texas, that Houston got a Texas guy back in DJ Augustine. So I was very happy.
Wait, well, I think we were all probably thinking about you on that. We're like, oh, DJ Augustine. Bogman must be happy.
I wanted to write that in his blurb so bad when I saw the trade. I was like,
and Bogman will be happy. Yeah.
Augustine is not a pickup unless you're Scott Bogman.
Yeah, all these Sports Edge people are like, what is happening? What is he talking about?
Boy, the Roto World Blurbs have really gotten weird these days. Yeah. God darn it. I did it.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that I didn't do it. That's why I've been so concentrated on saying NBC Sports Edge. You know what I mean? So, I'm sure Jonas has even done it. Jonas, oh, you've done it, right? Yeah,
of course. I mean, yeah, they've been getting on me about switching my Twitter thing to Edge and everything, and I can't figure out how to get the Edge photo as my background. So it's gonna be a while. So Roto World emblem's gonna stay for a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, come on, it was Roto World for 2 decades.
Yeah,
so, yeah. You know, it ain't gonna happen overnight, of course. But Dan, since you got the top shot and you start anyway, let's just go ahead and start with you. Fire up your first big three segments here.
Feeling spry these days. I thought we could just do, because we all know he's been an ad for a while now, but where do we think Time Lord ends up the rest of the way? I've heard, and the reason I ask this is because I've been asked, should I trade for him? Should I sell him? And either way, what should I be targeting? Seems to me he could be inside the top 60 the rest of the way pretty easily. Jonas, I'll go to you. Do you think higher than that?
I think higher, yeah. I think, and this is assuming he stays healthy, and that's a big question mark. This is a guy that's had multiple red flags with his knee and hip over the last few years. So asterisk on healthy. If he's healthy, I think he's top 25. I tweeted out this earlier today. He's actually 9th and 9-cat in his last 3 games now that he's the starter, right? They put Tristan Thompson on the block. I think they're going to move him. He's at 14 points, 12 rebounds, 1.7 dimes, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And here's why I'm very intrigued. After the game, when Robert Williams had that little they thought he hyperextended his knee, but it was just a contusion. They put Tyson, and then Brad Stevens said after the game, you know what, I may have gone with Taco instead of Tyce because I really want rim protection right now. So rim protection equals Robert Williams, more minutes for him. I think he's going to be an absolute breakout candidate down the stretch. Well, he's actually breaking out right now too, I should say.
So would you, and Bogman, I know you're ready to jump in there, but Jonas, would you, what would you give up to get him right now? Because it feels like, and I don't fully disagree with you on this either. It feels like we're very excited about him, but we might not even be excited enough. Kind of like Christian Wood this year, who was a big time hype guy aside from the ankle thing, but he was actually exceeding that hype. So would you go and give up like a 3rd or 4th rounder for him right now?
I think I would. Yeah. I saw yesterday a trade in one of my leagues was someone gave Al Horford for Robert Williams, and I thought you could have got more.
Yeah, I think you could too, actually.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
so I think way more than Al Horford. Come
third
on.
Or fourth rounder should be your target there, but I'd be looking to buy, not sell for sure.
I'd be looking to buy. I don't know if I'm going to go with a 3rd or 4th rounder for Robert Williams right now, just because I am a little afraid. You know, there's a couple things adding up here that wouldn't have me do it. It's the injury stuff, like Jonas said, you know, and just not having proven really much right now. Like, he's getting the minutes now and he's producing with them, which is fantastic, but we've seen plenty of guys, you know, produce for a couple months and then go right back into the cellar and never really get out of it. So I don't think of giving up a 3rd or 4th rounder, but I do think, given the minutes that he has right now, like you guys said, you know, I think a top 50 finish would not be very surprising at all for Robert Williams. So I've been a couple spots. I'm not going to trade him. I'm going to ride the wave and see if it pays off. Because like you said, Dan, he does have that, you know, look, we may not even be hyping him up enough. Jonas talked about it over the last week in his starts. He is a top 10 player right now, which is insane. I don't think he's going to get that. And another guy, why I roll my eyes at per 36s with him is because he's never going to get 36 minutes. But I mean, getting the steals, getting the blocks and the boards, you know, decent percentages as well. It's fantastic, dude.
Don't forget the dimes too. He's been really slinging the passes. Remember, he said he worked with Al Horford for an entire summer on his playmaking, and he had like 4 assist game and 3 assist game. He's like slinging passes from beyond the arc into the paint. It's insane. Like, I did not expect him to have that. So yeah, I'm really excited about him.
I hate talking an Aggie up this much, but I mean, he's really damn good. So yeah. I'm absolutely with you guys. I think Jonas is probably a little too hyped. I think I'm in the middle, And then Dan is respectfully where Dan usually is, a little bit.
No, lower. You know, I
but,
actually.
But for you, this is, yeah. I mean, top 60 is big.
Yeah. And so that's why I think, you know, that almost feels like a floor at this point. He's top 70 right. in 16 and a half minutes a game. We pretty much know that's going up to at least like 18 or 19. So that should get you to top 60. And then every minute over that on his averages, it's like he jumps another 2/3 of a round. So actually, I'm not that conservative with this one. I would probably go out there with some proven top 60 guy and see if you could get him. And you might need to go a little bit higher, but don't negotiate against yourself.
Right.
Looking at some of the players in that top 60 to 45 to 60 range that maybe you could consider, like a John Collins is an interesting one. Although he's disappointed some people. If OG Anunoby was healthy, that's a guy maybe you could have tried to go get him. You're going to need to offer somebody proven. You're not going to be able to get him for someone in the 85 or even right around Robert Williams right now.
I don't know, though, man, because like Jonas just said, someone just traded Al Horford for him. So there are plenty of people that, look
right,
at this
part
and kind of roll their eyes. I think you're right as far as, what an active league would do or people that are involved on a daily basis. But for some casual leagues,
I got a good one for you guys.
Trade way less. To
Bogman, would you take Jonas Valanciunas or Robert Williams?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
Give me the upside. Give me Robert Williams.
Jonas, yes. Can I assume you're there too?
Yeah, that's not even a question for me, especially since Valanciunas forgot how to block shots this year, which is weird.
Yeah, he did completely forget. He's been a little better lately, but
yeah.
Okay, I'll go to my next one here, because I think that was really illuminating for people, because they're like, should I go try to get him? Should I overpay right now? Because there's a lot of hype, and the answer is generally yeah.
Yeah.
Some fringy guys that are playing a little bit better lately. Will Barton, Marcus Morris, Maxi Kleba. I thought we could almost kind of lightning round these three guys. I don't want to put you guys on the spot without offering my own opinion on them. So, Will Barton, I think you can stream it, but I don't think it's going to last very long. Marcus Morris sliding into the starting lineup feels like he's given himself kind of like a top 110 sort of floor. And then, Maxi Kleba, the Mavs have actually played five guys starters minutes in a few games in a row here. Very unusual for Rick Carlisle, but he's a guy with decent 9-cat upside. Probably like Morris the most, then Kleba, then Barton, even though Will's been the hottest lately. But Bogman, I get to go to you first on this one. What do you think about those three guys? Do any of them hit your radar?
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite of you. I have no trust in Morris before. I've done that dance. It just never seems to last. I don't know. So I have built-in trust issues with the Morris brothers. So no, thank you. I kind of like Will Barton, especially with Gary Harris having like no timetable, right? No timetable for him. So I'm big on snapping up Barton right now. And Maxi Kleba, I mean, I just can't think of Maxi Kleba and not think of Dan. So whenever I think of Dan, I think it's a good pickup. So I'd actually kind of reverse this order. I would go Barton 1, Kleba 2, and Morris 3 for me.
I agree with Bogman here. Kleber's minutes have been insane lately, 31, 36, 41. The only concern there is, what's his name? Mark Cuban said, if the Dallas Mavericks are going to make a splash, it's going to be for like a star, right? And so you add a star to that equation, and then Maxi Kleber is not getting those minutes. But
he might be in the deal, though. So
he could be, yeah, he could be. But Barton's definitely number one for me. Obviously, health has been a big issue for him. He couldn't hit his shot to start the season. But remember last year, he had that knee injury. They say he felt through his entire body, and we wondered why he's obviously not playing well. But looks like he's settling in now. Obviously, Gary Harris has no timetable, and Barton's minutes are way up. 36, 39, 33 in his last three games. I think he's a top 100 as his floor, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up hurt. That's my assessment. Yeah. I don't know how he plays this many minutes and hits this many shots, but
yeah,
he's hot as hell. I don't have any problem with firing away. It is the year of the stream, after all. Yes. And my third thing, I had three choices. you sons of guns. I had three things in my third bucket, and you guys took all three of them.
To be fair, I took one, and Jonas took two.
That is true.
So Dan's been running my topics for me lately. I love it.
Well, I knew the first one for you was gonna like I purposely didn't put it on there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I just threw it into your bucket. Because that one had to be you. But we'll
yes.
I think everybody knows what it's gonna be, but we'll get there. So in a flash make a pick kind of third topic, I thought I'd get your guys' thoughts on what the hell Jordan Poole is for the Warriors. So Jonas, I'll go to you on this one, obviously with Steph. Likely to miss a game or two. There's a window here, but he's just been chucking shots like crazy for the last week and a half or so. Who is this kid?
Yeah, last year he was probably one of the worst fantasy players I've ever seen. we're talking like 15 shots a game on like Dylan Brooks percentages, like 33% shooting, couldn't do anything. But it's weird. Over the summer, he was the player that Kerr talked up the most, and he didn't even start the season in the rotation. So we're like, okay, this seems kind of odd. And then we hear he's just lighting up the G League. We hear more praise from Kerr. Then he comes, and I think it was right after the G League bubble, Draymond Green, after the first practice, he's like, holy hell, what did they do to this kid in the G League? He said he came back a completely different player. And over his last five games, I got to pull this up. What is he at? Just amazing. Let's see here. Five games. I would imagine he's top 40. He's top 60. 19 points, 3.4 threes, 2.2 assists. And obviously the assists are going to go way up. I think Curry's going to miss at least one game, right? Is that the latest on him?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like this is a streamer with benefits, right, Dan?
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, so I think he could legit stay in the rotation with about 24, 25 minutes. Kind of like that Malik Monk role when Devontae Graham was out for the Hornets. I think the 25 minutes can stick. And keep in mind, the dark horse of the at the trade deadline is Kelly Oubre. So if they move him or Wiggins, here we go. We're talking top 80 upside. So I think like Poole is definitely a streamer with benefits. So I like picking him up right now.
Yes, thank you for going to Jonas first on Jordan Poole, because I just learned a lot about Jordan Poole. So, my concern for him is kind of what Jonas mentioned at the end. There is, you know, they've been kicking around a bunch of trade ideas, and if they bring someone in, does that push him back down? If they don't, that could open a spotlight, like he said, for Oubre. You know, if they flip Oubre, then Poole is in there all the time. If they don't go get a star. So I think a lot is going to be determined with Jordan Poole's role for the rest of the season on the 25th when the trade deadline is. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be a huge contributing factor. But there's no harm if you have a spot to go pick him up now and figure it out. You know, if you dump him in a week, you dump him in a week. But this is a good week to have him, just like Jonas and Dan both said, because Curry's banged up right now. So I think it's a smart move to go pick him up right now.
Yeah, I like him a bit more, I think, in points formats where he leans pretty hard into the scoring stuff. But yeah, with the usage this high at the moment. And those are my three with the last second Jordan Poole edition.
Well, we got to go to Jonas now, because this is basically Jonas brag week right here. So let's hear subject number one here, Jonas, because you have some bragging to do. And we're just going to let you take a victory lap.
Well, before I brag, I will say I've had some great calls. I've also had some bad calls, okay? I'm the one that hyped up Jordan Bell a couple years ago. I hyped up Marquise Chris. So when I get them right, it feels really, really good, okay? So it feels like redemption for me. So I'm proud of this one. I noticed Moses Brown in the G League just sitting. Like, I have the afternoon shift sometimes, so I'm just sitting. So the G League games are just on in the background. And I catch an eye on this kid. He's 7'2", 245. Never played as a rookie, right? Comes in and absolutely dominates the game. The first play I saw of him, he catches a miss from the free throw line and dunks it instantly. I'm like, okay, he plays for the Thunder. This guy is going to be a big down the stretch. So I tweeted out his G League stats, which were out of this world. And now he's finally in rotation. In his last five games, he's top 75 with 11 points, 9 rebounds, 0.6 steals, and 1.8 blocks. And I've compared him to the Hassan Whiteside situation in Miami, where they pick him up from the G League. He plays, and he just absolutely dominates in limited minutes. So I think this could be the next situation. And there's one more factor, is that Al Horford is likely going to be moved. Like, he was unmovable before the season started, and then he played really well. Now it looks like the Thunder are going to move him. And if he gets 29, 30 minutes, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, who would you rather have if Horford gets moved? You want Robert Williams or Moses Brown?
It's still Robert Williams for me, for sure. Okay. There's more of a sample size there. I'd say a little bit more per minute upside as well, but Moses Brown still has that mystery box upside to him too. This is only five games we've seen him, so Anything can happen. And what I've seen so far, I've very much liked. And I don't know how to pronounce the Thunder's coach's last name, Mark
Daigneault.
Daigneault. Okay.
Daigneault.
He said after the last after Tuesday's game that he really wants to take a good look at Moses Brown down the stretch, and he specifically moved Mike Muscala out of rotation, who was playing really well, by the way, just to get a look at this kid.
That's true. Muscala looked okay this year. It was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. That is a absolute Jonas victory lap. You got anything to add with Brown, Dan?
No, I think the note there that Jonas mentioned was that even if Horford's contract is too big to get moved, he's going to probably be sitting at least half of their games. So I get these two. One of them was on a back to back. He got another rest day that had nothing to do with anything. That was just to get Brown and Roby.
Been frustrating because it seemed, Horford's in a great spot. It's been frustrating the last month here with him. So,
yeah, well, I think he was more of a Roto games cap sort of target this year, kind of knowing that they were going to be going light on him. He was going to sit 10 to 15 games sort of thing. And he's been great when he's played.
Yep.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Moses. Holy Moses.
One more thing on OKC real quick, though, is keep your eyes on Alexis Pokuševski. Remember, Bogman, you asked me what rookie to take. I think you were like eighth or ninth pick in your draft, and I said...
I was eighth. You said take Puko. I did. Now, I did include him in a gigantic trade that I did. So,
oh, my God. You're going to regret that.
The three-sport league, I got like a first-round NFL pick. I got some baseball pieces. My basketball team was okay. So he was on my in my minor league system for that one too, because he wasn't playing. So I might regret it, but
you're gonna regret it hard.
But I tell you what, I did at least
right now.
At least get him, and then was able to put him in to as the piece to put over the top for my deal. So I at least had that with him. We had a quick relationship, me and Puko. So
he's going to be a superstar. I'm calling it now. He's going to be that good.
And he's got to put on about 100 pounds to be a superstar.
Yeah, I was going
to
say he's about 100 pounds. He's but you can see the flashes though. He's got a quick release, 7-footer that gets it off that quick. But yeah, you can lift him up and just flip him out of the way right now.
7-foot Dan Bespris. So.
He's 200 pounds. That is a flat out lie. That's not 2 bills. I'm 2 bills too, by the way.
Yeah.
He's got the world's longest back, that's for sure.
But no, Jonas is right, though. They want him in there to learn on the fly here. I mean, they started him at what? Small forward? 7-footer, small forward?
Yeah, and he played point guard and center so far, too. Like, talk about jack of all trades.
And Roby played some point guard in a game. They're just letting everybody run the point on that team.
An all-star game in Oklahoma City. Hey,
OKC are going to win a championship within 5 years. Guaranteed.
They're going to move those picks for something, right? You can't just draft 20 guys.
Yeah, 20 first-round picks. You're going to get a star. Well, stars.
Could.
Mm-hmm. What's number two after the Thunder here?
So, hot take time. I think Nick Claxton takes DeAndre Jordan's starting spot within the week.
I hope so.
And I know you hate per 36, but I guess have to say it because...
But he could get close to it.
He could. And so per 36, we're talking uncharted territory here. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2.2 assists. Remember, he played some point guard in college as a 7-footer, 1.7 steals, and 3.4 blocks. He had a really cool quote the other day. He was saying... a lot of people think we traded away all our depth, but I've been here. Like, is that not just the coolest quote? Like, I love that. And every time Steve Nash talks about him, he says the word upside like 5 times. And the big thing, too, last game, he played more minutes than DeAndre Jordan in a close game versus the Pacers. So it's coming, guys. It's coming. He's going to be the next guy that breaks out, in my opinion.
Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I can't wait to watch. This is a reason to watch Nets games. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, they're a very fun team, but fantasy-wise, that's a reason to watch because he's the kind of thing where if you see him log 11, 12 minutes by halftime, that's already a great sign to probably go and grab because, like you said, Jonas, he played 23 minutes in their last game. 23 is more than enough for him. My beef with Claxton on our last show was that he wasn't clearing 17 minutes. So this is this is something my I still do have one concern, but I don't think, let me think of the right way to phrase this. I think this is one where you have to stash him in case it does happen and sticks, as opposed to waiting to see what happens when Kevin Durant comes back and Jeff Green gets pushed more into that center bucket. Yeah. But I don't want to be the guy who waited and thought, oh, well, Jeff Green's probably going to chew up those minutes. If ultimately they're like, no, Claxton, you're the guy. We need more rim protection if you can guard someone on the perimeter. So, yeah, I'm watching their game with Orlando tonight. And if he's got a dozen minutes at halftime, I'm picking him up at halftime.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was going to say. It was about the minutes. You know, the guy hadn't surpassed, I think, 17 minutes in a game until two nights ago. So, you know, when he did play the 22 minutes. And if he's going to get more playing time, if there is upside, you know, if he's starting to get 23 to 25 minutes a game, you know, because last night, the stat line, or two nights ago, like you said, Jonas, it's 11 points, which, okay, whatever, 8 boards, an assist, 2 blocks, no turnovers. Like, that's a great line in the first time he has over 20 minutes. So, you know, get him a little more experience, a little more time, and I'm excited about this guy. I am worried about, you know, Kevin Durant, and what are they, is Blake Griffin going to play ever? You know, I mean, they got to get him involved somewhere too. So that there are worries about his minutes, but like Dan said, you know, if he's getting 12 minutes at halftime, go grab him. That's a great way to look at it. I think.
Well, my prediction is that Claxton starts, DeAndre Jordan starts picking up DNPs, and it's Blake Griffin and Jeff Green getting small ball 5 minutes. That's my prediction.
I like that. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Let's go. I mean, look, and this is that's the one prediction you have, because you have another victory lap, Jonas, as you should. So let's hear it.
Well, it's kind of a victory lap because
it's a victory lap.
Well, I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that Taylor Jenkins announced he was going to have a lineup change, and everyone on Twitter's like, okay, it's going to be Melton, right? And I said, no, it's going to be Grayson Allen, because this is Taylor Jenkins. And little did I know, yep, he starts Grayson Allen, who goes 3 of 13 from the field, was like a minus 20 in like a 4-point win. Meanwhile, Melton comes off the bench. What was his line that night? I know it was ridiculous.
Yeah, cooking people. Double-double with 6 assists or something, right?
Wasn't he a plus?
And 2 steals. Yeah, and he was at plus 20 in 23 minutes. Had a huge steal, actually 2 steals in the fourth quarter. One was in the final minute, which was pretty much the game-winning steal. Had a huge offensive board. Hit clutch free throws. Finished with 13, 10, 6. 2 steals and a triple. And little, here we go. He's the number one player for Memphis over the last 8 games. He ranks 29th in Ninecat in 20 minutes. So here's another player. We've said all these players, Robert Williams, the Christian Woods, the Chris Boucher, the players that lead their teams in fantasy value in like limited minutes, have breakout written all over them. Melton's going to be the next guy to do it. And I don't see how, like, we've been saying this all year. Like, we actually been saying this for 2 years, but how do you look at that tape from that last game and then go back to Grayson Allen again? I just don't think
Desmond Bain. They're playing 25 minutes of Desmond Bain.
And Melton is younger than Bain. Bain's a rookie. Melton is younger than Bain, I think by a month or two. So,
oh my good God.
Yep. It has been funny to see Jonas's tweets incept Dan's timeline. Like, I see these D'Anthony Melton tweets from Dan, and I go, is that? Oh, that is Dan. I thought that was a Jonas tweet for a second. But Dan is getting as frustrated with Jenkins as Jonas is.
We all see the same damn stuff here. It's like you're bashing your head against the wall. There are so like sometimes you watch things and, you know, there were weeks where I was sort of high and then low on someone like a Jared Vanderbilt we've talked about. And I watched the Minnesota games and I was like, oh, he's a terrible fit right now because he just goes straight to the rim, and then Cat goes straight to the rim, and there are 4 guys in this like 5-foot radius and there's no ball movement. Okay, fine. That one doesn't make sense. But like with Melton, when he's on the floor, he looks faster than the people he's playing against. He looks like he's getting the spots before other people. There's that little click above. I think we've talked about this on this show before. Some guys have that thing, and he has it. And we have to sift through these Grayson Allen and Desmond Bane minutes. I like, just get it together, man. Look at the game log too. And I know this is very simplistic and rudimentary. The Grizzlies are what, like 3-5 in their last 8 games or something like that? And the ones they've won have basically all been the ones where Melton played more minutes. Yeah. It's not a coincidence.
He leads the team in net rating by a mile. And a fast break breath, because he's a great Grizzlies follow. He tweeted this out. He says, what Melton has done on a per minute level has never been done in NBA history across the 6 counting categories for fantasy. Never been done before. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty insane.
On Monday's show, I talked about how most of the time when you see these guys that are top 90 or better in 20 minutes, they're centers. He's the only guard doing it.
Yeah. and cut the crap about Grayson Allen being the shooter or the floor spacer in lineup. Melton is shooting 41% from three this year. Like, that argument is gone.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Like, no idea.
I don't understand. Are they teaching him a lesson about something? I really don't get it.
What do they see in Grayson Allen? By the way, I was watching this Biden video on Twitter today where he's like falling over the Air Force One. I'm just waiting for someone to insert a Grayson Allen tripping meme there where trips over Grayson Allen.
You know what this sounds like when we're all complaining? It sounds like the two Muppet guys that are angry at everything just added a third guy. Right. That's what it sounds like whenever we talk about Melton. Like, come on, get him out there. What are we doing?
Rabble.
We need a 30 for 30 on this. Why does Taylor Jenkins hate Melton?
After they paid him.
Yeah, $40 million.
I am so confused.
Who drafted him again? Right, the Rockets, and then traded him. So,
yeah.
Speaking of my Rockets, it is becoming just miserable watching the Rockets right now. 18 losses in a row. And this is coming off, before they started this 18-game losing streak, they had won 7 of 8. And then the losing streak literally started when Christian Wood got hurt. Look, John Wall's missed a bunch of games. Oladipo's missed a bunch of games. There's no depth on the roster. It is becoming ugly to watch. I have to put something else on my big TV and put the Rockets on the small TV because I can feel my blood pressure moving up every single game. It is not fun. So I think I'm a little too close to it. So I'll go to you first, Jonas, with the Rockets. What's of value here on this team? And is there anything in fantasy that you're getting excited about?
So I can talk you out the ledge just a little bit. You want them to lose their 18 games in a row because
I want the picks. Yeah,
I looked it up, by the way. It's top four protected. So they are in that sweet spot. Right. And Mike Smits, who's probably the best draft guru out there, he said this is the best draft class he's seen in a very long time. So if you get even one of the top five players, you're set because you have Christian Wood. You have Kevin Porter Jr., who looks legit if he can keep his head on his shoulders. You got a couple younger pieces who look good, like Jayshon Tate looks like a good role player for the future. But you got some pieces there. You have a future, right? I'm hoping you guys can move Wall or Depot for something at the deadline. Literally anything, because we both know Depot's gone this summer anyway. So,
right.
In terms of fantasy, though, Kevin Porter Jr. looks like he's breaking out from our eyes. I think he's going to be fine the rest of the way. We're talking probably top 75 of his floor. With that usage rate alone is insane. We're talking superstar like usage rate. Another guy I'm keeping a close eye on though is Kenyon Martin Jr., who has that Derrick Jones Jr. stat set with the one steals and 1.4 blocks. No threes, but that's okay. 13.7 rebounds. Looks like a lot of fun. And Justin Patton didn't play any minutes next to Christian Wood last game, but that's something I'm keeping an eye on going forward for sure.
Dan, yeah. what do you see with the Rockets here?
Yeah, generally agree. My hope is that they let Christian Wood play most of the remaining games. He's missed enough, so my fear of rest days, I think, is warranted, but I'm like kind of crossing my fingers that it doesn't come up too much. Porter's locked in. Tate, I like him as well. I think he's a guy that should be on fantasy rosters. I think most of those other guys, you can probably just watch them from afar. Depot's got to be the guy that's on the move. He's an easier contract to move than Wall. There are teams that seem to want him, which we haven't really heard any rumors on teams wanting John Wall. Neither one of them has looked... I know Wall's been gone for a long time. I didn't think Depot's looked very good this year either. No. But I guess teams want him.
He's had like flashes, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of not great on film.
I'd like to see a Wall for Westbrook trade. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
God damn you. What is your problem, John? No.
It was the only one that could have happened. We all looked so smart, but it's literally the only one that could have happened. I'll throw one more name into the mix. If they decide to play Daniel House 32 minutes a game, he might be fantasy relevant. He's not as good at steals as I thought in my mind. I was like, oh, this guy's 3D, but it's only like a little D. It's like a lowercase D. But he's better.
There's some phrasing in there somewhere, but
Oh, yeah. I'm not being gross. I'm talking fantasy. but he could actually, climb inside like the top 90 or something like that if they play him a bunch. But it's unclear what they even really want to do with their 19 wings the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think he's one of their best trade assets, too. Hey, House has an affordable salary. I think contenders are going to be wanting him for sure.
I know Silas loves Nwaba, too. So, like, I would
love... He got hurt again, though.
I know he's always hurt. That's what I was gonna say. Is they love him. So if he can get healthy, I know Silas loves Nwaba, but
yeah, he does.
You know, I think you guys are right, but I do think, look, you know, John Lucas, the coach of the Rockets, there was this big piece in The Athletic about, you know, during the trade when they brought Porter Jr. over, you know, just talking about how Lucas had a lot of issues when he was a younger man and how he worked through them. And that is kind of why the Rockets have him. You know, he's a great basketball guy too, but he can help these guys develop. And I think that's what he's done with Porter Jr. right now. So, you know, just continuing to see him develop. And I like the stat set, like Jonas said, Kenyon Martin Jr. So KJ Martin.
KJ Martin.
So, I like the stat set there, but it is just, I watched the first quarter and they're within 5 points. And then the second quarter, they're down 12. And then the third quarter, it's about 20. And I'm all right, I'm going to go watch American Pickers. Like, why am I watching this nonsense? It's just making me mad. So
there was
a year where the Diamondbacks went 51 and 111. And I turned off many of those games around the fifth inning. So that's kind of, it just makes me too mad. It's too aggravating, but it is fun to watch these guys develop at least. So, and there's, like Jonas said, there is some, sunshine on the horizon here with the draft, but
it's a little weird that the veterans can't keep them within striking distance.
It seemed like that's what they were doing earlier in the year, but with Wall missing games and Wood going down and Eric Gordon got hurt and then PJ wanted out. Right. There's just no chemistry with this team. There's just very, very little chemistry. A lot of these guys, if those guys were healthy, some of these dudes would still be in the G League, So it's there's no chemistry yet. But I do like Silas. I know this is his first year and it's rough. I really like him. So I'm excited to see what the future has. But it is rough watching the Rockets right now. I want to know. I'll keep on the negative here. which of these guys actually stays on your team? Yeah, I'm the old man. I am actually always the oldest man here. So, but
that is true.
Are you keeping Nerlens Noel, Jalen Brunson, Kendrick Nunn, or Kelton Johnson on any of your teams? Who stays, Stan? I'll start.
How many am I picking here? Just anyone that I want.
Anyone that you want to keep on your roster.
I'm gonna keep Kelton Johnson a little bit longer. He was teetering on the brink of a drop before the COVID stuff, but with LaMarcus Aldridge being out and that seems like it's headed towards a buyout, although maybe they scrounge up a second rounder for him at the deadline or something. That does seem to open up a little bit more in the front court, and him shifting up and playing more power forward minutes is good generally for all medium to large size NBA players. So Kelton Johnson is buying himself some more time as he's now getting his conditioning back. Brunson's gone. Josh Richardson finally looks healthy. And I feel like maybe I was picking on him. I thought his game was gone, but it might have actually just been COVID stuff earlier this year. So apologies to Jay Rich. Kendrick Nunn, he's been great for a while, but Miami's starting to get healthy. So I think I'll probably part with him as well. And this is the hardest one for me because you guys know I love me some Nerlens Noel, but Tom Thibodeau and Taj Gibson are once again dining over candlelight. And and that's bad for Nerlens. And Mitchell Robinson is probably within a week of coming back too. So I'll drop Noel. I'm only keeping Kelton Johnson from that list.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, Jonas, the reason I put this together was I was just looking at the most dropped guys on ESPN. And I think these are the guys without like huge injury designations that are getting dropped right now. So, and this is a time, you're grabbing and stashing a guy like Claxton, maybe you're grabbing and stashing in preparation for the trade deadline. So you got to know who to cut here. So are you keeping, are you like Dan Keldon's the only guy, or is there someone else that's worthy?
Yeah, Keldon's the only guy. Like Dan said, he's going to be playing a lot of small ball four. Trey Lyles is apparently out of the rotation once again. And remember, like players coming back from COVID, we saw it. Fred VanVleet looked awful in his first game back. Jason Tatum looked terrible for a month. It's going to be a little bit longer, but he showed some flashes in his last game, had that 14-point game in 31 minutes. So I think he's over it now, had a steal in the block as well. I think there's a top 100 floor and top 75 upside is where I'd probably peg him.
All right, so I have a positive one here for my last one, which I'm happy about. And it's Anthony Edwards. He ranks 58 over the last 2 weeks. He's coming off that huge 42-point game with the youngest in NBA history to score 40 points. Should we be selling him right now? Because, you know, this is a rookie. There's the rookie wall. This is the biggest spurt that he's had. Or is this him kind of now hitting his stride in the NBA and, you know, kind of breaking out? So now we want to keep him. If you held him this long, you kind of feel pot committed. Jonas, I will start with you on Anthony Edwards. I had a lot to drink last night.
I was not bullish on him coming into the season, but I am definitely bullish now. And I'll say why. It's Chris Finch, right?
Yeah.
He's an offensive mastermind. He was credited for unlocking Anthony Davis in New Orleans. He's credited for unlocking Nikola Jokic in Denver. This guy is an offensive mastermind, a really talented coach, and he's obviously unlocked Anthony Edwards' last 8 games. Like you said, top 60. And honestly, if you're punting a category or two, it's much higher. The only question we have going forward is, well, we have D'Angelo Russell coming back in a game or two, and we have Malik Beasley coming back. So while this is a sell high, yes, I don't think there's any question that there's obviously superstar upside here. And I don't think they feel too bad. Obviously, in hindsight, you take LaMelo Ball, right? But I don't think they feel too bad about Anthony Edwards here now.
Yeah, no. My answer to your question was going to be that Family Guy gif from very early on when the doctor says, can it be both? he is a sell high if you can get something for him with Beasley and D'Lo coming back, but also he's getting better. That's just what happens with rookies. Right. It's why I don't draft them, because I can't wait 4 months into the season for a guy to start performing, because I play in roto leagues. Head to head, these guys make a lot of sense. If you can just sort of slide by third, fourth place, whatever, and then you get these late season surges, he's good. He's good, and he can fly, which isn't that really why we watch the NBA to begin with, to see humans leap 7 feet in the air? That shouldn't be possible, but they do it, and it's freaking exciting. I love exciting guys, but yeah, sell him if you can.
Yeah. I think it's a sell, and you know, it's funny, the Rockets have lost 18 games in a row, and they're still not below the Wolves. The Wolves are still dead last in the West. But Finch has had them win 2 games, you know, over the last week. So they're looking better, like Jonas said. So I obviously this is why this move was made. So
yeah, Wolves are steamrolling past the Rockets. Which team can lose more in their last 10?
Yeah, hopefully it is the Rockets. Lose what more.
So. Oh, 2 games. There's still 2 games up. You got plenty of time to drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's I was thinking the other day, and I told the Welsh this at about 14 losses in a row. I said, yeah, dude, I just remember when McGrady and Yao won 22 straight, and Yao got hurt at like 12 games in on that 22-game run, and then without Yao, they won 10 more games. I'm like, this is the opposite of that, obviously, you know, because 18 was a franchise marker. It was 17 from the San Diego Rockets the first year the franchise was in existence. So this is the worst streak since the very beginning of the Rockets. And I'm wondering if they're going to get to that 22 that they had in the win column. So so we'll see. But I think that's it. We didn't not seen any questions. Sometimes we hang out and answer questions at the end here, but I'm a little hungover, so I think we're going to wrap it up this today. So that is going to wrap it up for us. But Jonas, tell everybody what you got going on over at NBC Sports Edge this week.
So check me out every Tuesday at 2:00 Eastern, where I do a question and answer. I'll do an NBA stock watch for season pass subscribers on Wednesday, where I do buy low, sell high. And every Sunday, you'll find me on the waiver wire column. Dan?
Oh, I don't know. I'm lost. It's the same stuff. Just follow me on Twitter. Anything I do, I'm doing over there. I am handicapping the crap out of the NBA these days. And that's it's gotten fun again, as I've done a better job, I think, of narrowing down my betting plays. We're doing an NBA podcast when everybody's watching March Madness, so I feel like I'm pitching something that nobody wants to hear, but yeah, follow me on Twitter. Anything I'm doing, I'll tweet out over there at Dan Bespris. If you can spell it, you can find me.
B-E-S-B-R-I-S. It's not hard. B-E-S-B-R-I-S. You know, if you can't spell Dan, I can't help you there.
No.
But for me, you know, obviously a lot of baseball going on. We got the season starting on April 1st, so a lot of drafts coming up this weekend. Just got my updated ranks over to the Welsh. He is going to update them on our Patreon sheet today. So going into your weekend drafts, you'll have all new updated rankings from us, you know, with all the injuries that have been happening, spring training, a lot of jobs, a lot of players moving around in the lineup, all that good stuff is happening. The Welsh has his minor league list for all of your dynasty needs coming up as well. I've been working on the NFL draft war room. I have a show talking about running backs coming out there on Monday. We've got, you know, the Sports Grid show tomorrow on Saturday. I got CFB Winning Edge. I've got all kinds of stuff going
on. All?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all for now, you know. And people are like, why don't you guys do hockey again? And they're like, come on, man. You know, can't do everything. So we did pick a bracket, having watched, like, I have watched, like, some Texas games. I can name, like, Andrew Jones on their team. So, but we filled out a bracket on our radio show knowing absolutely nothing about college basketball. And, of course, I picked the Longhorns over Baylor. That was my my championship. So didn't get big laughs here because the Longhorns are pretty good. They just won the Big 12 title. So so that was fun. So you guys can check that out. But at Bogman Sports for everything for me as well. And we will see you guys next week, probably on Thursday. I guess we'll have to talk about the schedule, but probably on Thursday. We'll see you guys later. Take it easy.